Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're glad you're here, by the way, streaming live on biz1190.com and we'll be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes, so check us out there. We're going to talk a little bit today about careers and about your career, and particularly about, not about education specifically, but at least touching on the idea of the World War II paradigm that's been around a long time, the idea that, come out of high school, go to college, go to a four-year college, get a degree, go to work for a large company, and have a great career. And that apparently, well, almost certainly, that paradigm no longer works. I don't remember if it was Yale or Harvard, but I remember reading about a year ago where the graduates of an Ivy League law school were suing the law school because after spending the enormous amounts of money that it took to go to that law school, they were coming out with either no jobs or very substandard jobs. In fact, to the point they were going to have a great deal of difficulty repaying their student loans. Now, we all know college grads, perhaps even our kids, college grads who are unemployed after spending 4 years, or in many cases 5 years, getting a degree. And if they're not unemployed, they are employed in positions that have nothing to do with their degree field, or are positions that don't really require a college degree. At the same time, our company, and the country as a whole has a real problem hiring skilled labor positions. So I want to at least talk about that idea. But let's start with in that World War II paradigm, again, of go to a four-year college, get a job, and go to work for a large corporation and have a great career. Let's start with the latter part of that, going to work for a large corporation. I should say at the outset, I've never worked for a large company in my entire life. My entire career has been working for a small business or having my own small and medium-sized business. And so, I suppose in some way I'm rather biased in this regard, but it does give me a unique perspective. Many of my friends who have worked for large corporations have no idea what it's like to work for a small company. And when they lose their job at a large corporation, what I find is they are only talking to other large corporations about jobs. I think that's a big mistake. I think it's a big mistake for someone out of college to only interview with large companies. And here's the deal. A lot of small and medium-sized companies are not going to show up at your college campus and recruit you. They're just not going to do that. They're not going to be the Coca-Colas and the Hewlett-Packards and people like that. But we all know the hiring processes in those companies is very cumbersome. Those are the people that are going to do things, and this is very commonly done. They'll say, well, we've got one position. We've got, 15 applicants. We're going to let everybody know one way or the other, but we all know what's going to really happen. If you're not the top one or two applicants, you're going to hear nothing whatsoever from them. And when you call them, they'll say things like, well, we're still deciding. We're still working on that. But in reality, they're not really working on that. You're nowhere there. They don't generally respect you that much to do that. Now, take a small business, for instance. If you go and you, through your own networking or really just your own prospecting, you find a small business and you go into that guy and say, I'm really good at marketing or at IT or whatever it is you do, whatever it is that you do. And you get in to see a top-level person in a small company. And again, it's not that hard to do. There's only going to be one or two. And you can network yourself into them, and you can see them, and you can say, hey, here's what I can do. Is there anything I can do here? Well, they're not always going to have an opening for you. They're just not. But you know what? If they do have one, there's not going to be any long, drawn-out process about it. They're going to check maybe your references. They're going to talk to you. They're going to have you talk to some other people in your organization, and probably in a very short period of time, they're going to tell you, yes, we can use you here, or no, we cannot. They, for the most part, they're not going to leave you hanging out there on anything. And once you do get into a small business, It's a great place to be there. There's a few reasons to choose a small business career. I was looking on a website called TargetJobs.com, and they listed 10 reasons to look for work experience with a small firm. I'm not going to give you all 10, but let's run over a few of them that seem to ring true to me. In a small organization, you can make a bigger impact. That is so true. You know, if you want to make a big difference at a company that you're working in, you're going to go to work for a company that's got 10,000 employees, it's going to be very hard to make a big difference at that company. But you know what? If you go to work in a company that's got 5 employees or 6 or 7 employees, and you are, you know, whatever it is you do, you can make a huge impact in that company. And in so doing, you can guarantee a very good career for yourself by that. It's a very easy thing to do, to make a big impact in a small company. That's the story of my life. It's the story of many other people that have been successful in business. They started with small businesses. You know, not all successful careers have come out of large businesses. They just haven't. So think about that. Think about the idea of what a big impact you can make by going to work for a small corporation. Number one, getting hired there. I'm not saying it's easier to get hired there, but it's certainly a more straightforward process to get hired, which you can do. You'll be given, in a small corporation, you can be given responsibility early on in that company. I went to work for a small company out in Texas who only had a few employees in a field that was a brand new field to me, the electronic motor drive field. You know, within 8 months of getting there, I'm the shop supervisor. I have techs working for me out there. And this is only after having been there 8 months. My story is not that atypical. If you're talented, if you're a talented person, you can find a lot of very early responsibility in a small corporation. You're not going to get that in a big company. So when you're looking for a job, a fulfilling job, don't ignore the small companies that are around. Number one, there are a lot more of them around. The other thing that this is another listing from TargetJobs.com, they say your contributions will be highly valued. You know, it's entirely possible to sort of work at a big company and you come up with some great process or design. Your boss takes credit for it, or some team takes credit for it. You're really doing all the work of that team, but they take credit for it, not you. You know what? In a small organization, that's not going to happen. In a small organization, the people that produce are recognized, and they're highly valued. You know, it's one of those things where you can go there and perhaps you can cut a deal with a guy that, you know, I don't have a real experience. I'm just very good at this. And you let me work here a little while and prove myself. And then once you prove yourself that you are a value to that company, to that entrepreneur is going to look at you as a valued resource. And you know what? Your pay is going to go up in a commensurate fashion with that. And it's going to be a good career path for you. So don't overlook, again, small businesses. Do there. You know, the other thing is that your job can be tailored to suit you. You know, a lot of large companies, you're going to go to a job and they're going to give you a job description, and that job description was there before you got there, and you're going to be expected to fulfill that job description. Well, you know, in a company like ours, we've had several instances where someone was hired in one position and they turned out not to be really terribly good at the position we hired them for, but we learned along the way they really were excellent at something else. And again, small businesses, you show up like that. You know, you're not really good at this, but this person is really outstanding at this. So we move them over in the other position. And perhaps it's a good chance that before they got there, that position that they're now in didn't even exist. That happens with us. We'll find people that can bring skills into a small organization. And the small organization recognizes their skills and their talents and will not create a spot for you just to feather bed or to give you a job. They will create that. They will allow you to develop that spot because they see the value that spot is to the company, something perhaps they didn't even know before you got there. Again, that's the beauty of working for a small company. And here's another thing. This especially rings true with me. If you're a budding entrepreneur, if you're somebody who really has in mind having your own business one day, well, you can go to work for a large corporation and learn a lot about business. I don't deny that. But you know what? If you go to work for a small company and you pay attention and you show interest in all parts of that business, there you will learn the business. You know, I didn't know until I went to work in a small corporation that I liked the business of business. I didn't know that because I never had the opportunity to do that before. And perhaps you haven't either. But you know what? When you go to work for a company, a small company that needs you, they will allow you to do things perhaps you will not be allowed to do anywhere else. They'll allow you to perhaps see parts of the company no one else is going to allow you to see them, and it will allow you to experience some things you've never experienced before. You may get to see how marketing is done, right, hands-on and upfront. It happened to me. I was doing, as a service manager, I was just doing mailings to try and get more service business in, and I got to be pretty good at it. And then the people in the company said, hey, can you do this for the other departments as well? And I did. And pretty soon, we had never had a position of director of marketing there before, but all of a sudden we have one, and I'm it. And that can happen to you in a small company. That would never happen to you probably in a large company. This is not to disdain. There are many fine organizations around that are large companies. I think of people here in town, like the Chick-fil-A organization, where I know people that work there. I think they're a marvelous organization to work for, and anybody working there, I don't know anyone working there doesn't like it. And I'm not going to name them, but I do know some other organizations here in town that are exactly the opposite. People go there and kind of die. And, you know, some people make it, some don't. If you if you don't mind waiting years and years and years to sort of bloom in your spot, that may be a place for you. But a lot of people are not that way. And I just think it's much more exciting. That's my experience, and again, I'm sort of biased toward it, to go to work in a small company where the, you get a chance to do what you want to do. You know, the other thing is you can become much more of a specialist in a small company. And again, it's because the opportunities are there. If you are in with the running of the business and you're sort of seeing all parts of the business and you notice that there's an area that's sort of being neglected, and you get with the founders and the owners who are probably only one or two guys, and you say, hey, you know what? I believe we could really do some business if we could just do this. You know what they're very likely to do is say, hey, look, take a run at that. See how you do. See how it works. You know, if it doesn't work, fine. We're not going to take your job from you, but hey, spend a little time at that. We do that in our company all the time. Someone will say, hey, I think we need to pursue this this industry over here. Say, okay, how are you going to do that? And they'll tell us. We'll say, all right, what do you need to do that? Well, I need this, this, and this. Okay, well, let's give that a try. Let's go for it. You know, sometimes they're very successful for us. Sometimes they're not. But nonetheless, a small company allows that to happen. And you're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. More to come. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. By the way, streaming live on biz1190.com if you're about to get out of range. And we will be podcast, if you missed part of today's program, on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. So check us out there. We're talking about careers in sort of an unconventional way. I'll start off talking about the World War II paradigm, and that was many of us baby boomers sort of were raised under that paradigm. The idea of you get out of high school, you go to college, is sort of understood. You're going to go to college, you're going to get a 4-year degree at least, and then you're going to go to work for a big company and have a long, successful career, and then retire in Florida or something. I mean, that was sort of, I don't know that was ever exactly said to me, but that's sort of the idea a lot of us grew up with. And let me quickly say that is not to disdain the idea of anyone going to college. That's certainly a very worthwhile thing. You know, education is a value all unto itself. It's an intrinsic value. The idea of, and let me just say this while I'm at it, anyone that thinks they go to college and they finish their education is an idiot. Education is something that I'm still, you know, I'm in my 60s now, and I still learn all the time. Well, number one, we're in a very changing world, and if you don't keep up with it, you're going to get left behind by it. So we're in a changing world. So education is one of those things that is a forever learning thing. It's an exciting idea to learn. But the idea that you have to go to college to get a good job is just not true anymore. In fact, you can make an argument. You can make an economic argument, a pretty good economic argument, that in this particular period of history in which we're living, it may actually be the opposite. There was a lady named Karen Price Mueller who interviewed a guy that if you watch his show on television, Dirty Jobs, or you've seen him in other things, a guy named Mike Rowe, and her interview with him, I just read it recently, it was kind of interesting. She works for the Star-Ledger. She was, you know, he says that the idea of the paradigm of that you if you want to make something of yourself, you have to go to college, which, of course, has been conventional wisdom. But then Roe always asks, is that true? College, in the first place, college education comes at a very steep price. College is very expensive, and college costs have gone up way faster than the inflation rate. I'm not alone in this opinion that college has risen too quickly, and it's risen by the idea of the easy availability of student loans. I actually think student loans ought to be a little harder to get. I know that's not what a lot of people want to hear. I actually think they should be a little harder to get. And I think if they were, the college cost would stay down. Your average college student, and this sounds actually low to me, but your average college student is going to graduate with around $27,000 in debt. And I know people that have graduated with a lot more than that in debt. And that's a huge increase from just a few years ago. And one out of every 10 grads defaults on their college debt, which is a very high and a historically high default rate. And that's a lot of debt to accumulate, especially when you have no guarantee of a job when you get out. So Mike Rowe is one of the, and he's not the only one, there are many who say this, he suggests that getting your hands dirty might be a better option than going to college for a lot of young adults. And again, this is not to knock college, but it's just to give you an alternative, an idea of an alternative. Here's a statement he's got. He says that in reality, a four-year degree won't make you successful any more than a gym membership will make you healthy. He says, I'm a fan of knowledge and fitness, but I reject the assumption that you have to go broke pursuing either one. And Rogue goes on to talk about the idea of there are big opportunities for those willing to learn a useful skill, and you will not be saddled with a lot of debt from doing it. Now, the problem is these are jobs that have been frowned on by many parents who kind of want to boast at a cocktail party that their kid is a doctor or a lawyer. I actually covered here on the program a few weeks ago a little writing by a guy named Stanford professor, actually, named John Krumbholz, who, and he kind of noted that when he meets people, they immediately respect him because he's a college professor. And they don't know that he does a good job or a terrible job. They don't know anything about his job, but they respect him because he's a college professor. He says that's wrong. And he said that mindset really works against job satisfaction and happiness. And you know, we all know, or at least I know people, I suspect you do too, that are in what we would term successful careers. I know an attorney that told me he did not like being an attorney. He did not like the job. He couldn't wait to quit doing it. This is an attorney. That takes a lot of education to be an attorney. I even more know a guy who's a physician that told me he didn't like being a physician. And, you know, the idea that everyone should go to college and perhaps end up doing something they don't really like doing because somehow we have assigned in our minds those jobs as having more value. Now, there was a time when you could absolutely say that having a college degree gave you more income potential than not having a college degree. You can still say without any doubt that not having an education and having an versus having an education, the education is all, the people that have education are always going to make more money. That's a given. But it depends on how you define education. There's a huge skills gap, you might call it, in our country. People like us in our company, where we depend on hiring skilled people, skilled electronic tech, skilled electrical types, we have a hard time finding people like that. And you know, the crazy thing is if I call some of my other friends that are sort of in similar businesses, I'll say, hey, have you got any resumes we could look at? Their typical answer is, well, heck no, if I did, I'd be hiring them. Do you have any? You know, those, we're all looking for them. Where are they? And the other thing is, there's an eight that does not bode well for our country, is that people in these trades skills, and you can define that any way you want to, welder. Do you know, for instance, you know that many welders make over six figures? You know that? That's a six-figure job for many people with a little bit of experience. That's right, a welder. a lot of kids coming out of high school have no clue what a welder even does, but they might really like it if they did it, and it's going to pay a lot more money than their buddies are making going to college 4 years. And here's the other thing. They don't have to go to school 4 years to get to be a welder. That's about an 18-month certification. So you could be making a lot more money than your friends coming out of college right away by being a welder. And if it's something you really like doing, if you like that, your job satisfaction is going to be much higher than somebody working, let's say, as a bookkeeper in an office somewhere. Again, it's what are you skilled at? What are your passions? What do you like doing? Coupled with, what's the economy telling us about jobs? You know, whenever there's a shortage of something, the demand goes up and the price goes up. Well, there's no difference with jobs. As the skilled labor force in this country declines, and here's what I started to say a while ago, most people in the skilled trades today, many of them are aging. That's an aging population. It's above the age of most other things because young people are not going into those trades and skills at anywhere near the rate they need to replace the ones that are reaching retirement age out of it. And as a result of that, the demand is only going to go up. So consider that as a career. You know, your typical trade school degree is about a two-year degree. It costs about half what 2 years in college would cost as a rule. And here in the state of Georgia particularly, we have some very good state-type community colleges that are really very economically viable for almost anybody. And in there, you can learn skills. I want to talk about some of those individual skills, give you a little hint on what they pay and things like that in the next segment. You are listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. More to come. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. We're talking about careers today. We're sort of talking about the alternative career paths, perhaps. And we've done this before. Just to review, in case you're just joining us, we were talking about the idea that there's a sort of a World War II era paradigm that I grew up under. The idea that, you know, you go to college, you get out of high school, you go to college 4 years, you go to work for a large company, you have a great career and a great life. And in many ways, for a lot of people, that paradigm has collapsed. You find people coming out of college that cannot find jobs that pay what they need to pay just to allow them to pay back their college debt. And the other thing is, and just as a side rule, I discourage people from going into debt to go to college. I know a lot of people do it. And for a lot of people, that may be their only path. But you know what? Working your way through college is still something you can do. And you're so far ahead of your buddies when you come out of there and you do not have a bunch of debt, and they do. And you can afford to buy a car, and you can afford to buy a house, things they can't do because they're saddled with a huge amount of debt. So give a thought about that. You know, back to Mike Rowe, the host of Dirty Jobs, I was quoting an article he was interviewed in. According to him, only 12% of all jobs require a four-year degree. And he thinks the country needs to stop selling higher education as something that's superior to alternative education, such as trade schools that teach specific skills. And he says it's not so much a skills gap. A skills gap is when the demand for skilled workers exceeds availability, and that affects the overall economy, and we're in that in our country right now. But it's not, according to Rowe, it's not a mismatch of skills. It's a mismatch of age, geography, expectation, and he said it's really a desire gap. Now Rowe is trying to do something about that through several organizations he heads up. You can go Google him and find them if you want to. The idea of trying to help people, encourage people to go into trades, and then helping them find jobs. He has a very and most of what he does is free. You can go there and find trades jobs. Let's talk about it a little bit. What do trade jobs pay? And before the end of the program, I want to tell you about what interests me the most, and I'll get back to this in the last segment at least, is the idea of learning a trade learning a trade, and you can name, you name the trade, whether it's plumbing or electrical or electronic or, you know, you name it, whatever you want to, whatever you, carpentry, whatever. And then starting, becoming very expert at it, not only expert at that trade, but expert at the business of that trade. And then starting your own business. I think that's a very American thing to do, and it's a very lucrative thing for many people. We'll talk a little bit about that right toward the end. But what is, what do the trades pay? Well, let me give you, this is out of a couple of sources. Here's the trade jobs. Let's talk about a heating and ventilation, air conditioning type mechanics and installers. The median pay for that is $43,649. Median pay is not average pay. Median pay is, you know, when you take the, but what the, is like the middle, in the middle between the highest and the lowest. I happen to know HVAC people that make right at six figures. So it's here in the Atlanta area, that's a pretty good paying job. You need skills to do it for sure. Electricians, a little harder to get to be, by the way, to get to be a heating, an HVAC guy, you got, here in Georgia, you're going to need to be licensed, or someone in your organization needs to be licensed that you can work as an apprentice type for somebody. And there's a little bit of schooling required for that. To, an electrician, most electricians need to be licensed. There's, again, a procedure to go through that. It's not all that hard, but you have to do it and get through it. Electricians, the median pay for electricians is around $50,000 a year. Again, that's a median pay. There are a lot of electricians that make way into six figures with the amount of, if they're good and they work, and then if you get to be like you're the chief electrician on a job site or something like that, you're going to be making more money. You're going to be basically making a cut of all the people, other people that are working there. So this is a, it's a great job in that regard. And there's a great lack and shortage of skilled people in that. Here's things that aren't very sexy, but they pay quite well. The idea of plumbers, pipe fitters, and steam fitters, you know, they also have a median pay of around $50,000 a year. This is, in my view, this is more experience training than it is education training, although there are plenty of trade schools you can go to teach you these skills. And again, before the program's over, I'm going to talk to you about doing that and starting your own business in it, which is really how you can make some money and doing that. And here's another one you may have never thought of, elevator installers. You know, they have very, they, you know, they make almost 80, they have a median pay of almost $80,000. You know that? That's elevator installers and repairs, a very niche skilled business. Well, that compares quite well with anybody coming out of a liberal arts college with a degree. It compares quite well. And depending on the kind of person you are, you may well find those kinds of trades where you work with your hands. If you're good at that, you may find that much more fulfilling. Now, again, going back to what the Stanford professor talked about, a lot of parents, when they hear their kids are going to do something like that, they sort of look down a little bit and think, well, that's some, that's that job is kind of beneath them. But we need to really get past that in this country. And I think perhaps get a renewed appreciation for hard workers, for people who work hard, people who make things, people who know how to do things, instead of sit around and push papers around on a desk or push a computer pad around somewhere. I really think it would be good for our country to get away from that entire deal. You know, we do have, as I mentioned earlier, a big trade shortage in the United States. And the skill trades are what's the biggest shortage of. It's people like welders, electricians, machinists. And here's the deal. They're difficult to find now, and they're getting more difficult to find. Now, for somebody like me, in our business, we need to hire people like that. That's particularly a problem. What we find is we have to sometimes hire people slightly less skilled and train them because we can't find it. Now, there are a couple of things that do, I should point out a couple of the downsides of this. Number one, when you're in a skilled trade like it, let's say you're a plumber or an electrician or you know, a welder or a machinist type person, that a lot of times, because that's a fairly physically demanding job, if you're not growing out to where you're a supervisor type in that trade, and really you should be doing that as you get better and better and better, you should move to a supervisory position. But if you're still in that trade, and you get into your, you know, later years, you are probably going to begin to have some physical issues with, you know, crawling under machines and crawling through attics and just the physical part of it. So those people tend to retire a little earlier than other people do. Again, unless they moving to a supervisor position, or again, as we're going to talk about later, they start their own business, which is a great way to do that. But with the two-headed snake of the fact that people in those trades tend to be a little older than the general population, and the fact they don't tend to work as long as the general population, there's a huge shortage there. Now, that shortage, the basics of economy are what? It's supply and demand. Short supply equals high demand equals high price, right? So if you're a kid, a college-age kid getting ready to go to school right now, if you have a kid coming out of high school, it's something you really ought to think about. To sit down and run some numbers, you'll be surprised at how well they can pay. You know, here's the other thing about it. If you learn a trade, you name the trade, automobile mechanic, whatever trade you want to put in there. You know what? When you learn that trade, you take 2 years off to learn it and maybe a year off to, maybe perhaps a year to work in the field, perhaps even working in the field while you're in the trade school. A lot of people do that. And then you decide later you want to go back and get a 4-year degree. You know, nothing's stopping you from that. Nothing's stopping you from that. In fact, you may have a lot more money to do that with than you had before. And also, you're going to be going to college as a much smarter and more mature person than the other people there. You're probably going to make better grades at it. Those are all good ideas for skills. You know, high schools, when I was in high school, all high schools had like shop. Many of you remember that. We had, motor shop or some kind of shop where you learned something like you took a little pass through doing woodwork or mechanics or something. You learn how to do something like that. Well, that's long gone. And high schools have largely shifted their focus in our country to preparing students for 4-year college rather than vocational school. But you know, just like being a welder or an electrician isn't for everyone, a 4-year college degree isn't for everyone either. And it's just something we have to realize. And it doesn't mean that the people that don't go to 4-year college are any less smart or less motivated or less anything than people that do. In fact, I would almost argue the opposite with you. People that will go to a trade school and get a job and start to work are in many ways more motivated than people that are going to go be college Joe for 4 years. And we've done this for a couple of generations now. And the result of that is not good for the country. The result of that has been a declining middle class. It's been an inability in many ways to keep the skills that we need to keep America running. And we can't all be managing a McDonald's. Some of us got to cook the hamburgers there. Some of us have got to be building the buildings. Some of us have got to be wiring the buildings up. Some of us have got to be keeping machines running. Those are things that we need in this country, and those are important people, and we do not need to be disdainful of people that are doing that kind of thing. I really think, just for me, when I see, every year we have at our church people, we have high school graduation day at church, and all the kids get up and they say what they're going to do. And, I'm going to this college and I'm going to major in botany. And I'm going to this college and I'm going to major in biology. And I'm going to this college and I'm going to major in psychology. And I'm going to this college and I'm going to major in sports management or something like that. And I'm not being disdainful of any of those kids. I know most of them. They're nice kids. They have nice parents. But I do sit there and think, you haven't thought this through at all. what are you going to do with a degree in psychology? Well, I'm going to be a psychologist. Well, how many psychologists do you know? And what kind of money do they make? Most psychologists you're ever going to meet work in prisons. Is that what you want to do? Because that's the main place employs psychologists, and they only employ a certain number of them. And not only that, they usually only employ psychologists that have advanced degrees. Are you going to actually go spend the extra thousands of dollars to get an advanced degree in that? Because that's all you're going to do. And you're going to come out and work for less money than a welder makes? Because that's what you're going to be doing. That's what you just chose for a career. Driven to business. We're back. I'm going to talk to you just a minute about take those skills and start a business with them, which I think is really the American dream and a great way to look at a career. I'm Eddie Mayfield. You're listening to Driven to Business. Back in just a moment. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We're talking about alternative career paths. I want to talk to you in this segment about the idea of, instead of going to a four-year college, and again, I'm not disdaining you for going to, or discouraging you from going to a four-year college. We're talking about an alternative path that perhaps that's not for you. Let's say you go to trade school and you learn a skill, and it doesn't matter what the skill is at this point, whatever attracts you, plumbing or electrical or electronics or IT or whatever really attracts you. And the idea that by doing that, you get into that business a few years, you learn that business, and then you start your own firm. You know, your income potential, if you're successful with that, and I'll put a big if there, if you're successful with that, your income potential for running a successful small business is every bit the income potential of an attorney. Do you know that? That's right. It's almost the same amount of money that a good attorney makes. So if that's for you, there are great economic opportunities for you for and does not require a college degree. Now, look, I have a college degree, but I went back and got a college degree after working several years as an electronic tech, because by then I sort of knew what I wanted to do in life. I don't encourage anybody to follow my path necessarily, but this is what I did. But the idea that you can start a business based on your skill sets, you know, that kind of a business has the highest potential for success of any other kind of business. Let me just give you, there's a couple things out of Demand Media. They gave the types of businesses most likely to fail. I'm going to run through that very quickly. I'm not going to spend much time on them. Here's a type of business, and these are listed in order of most likely to fail. Here they are. Family restaurants. It's the most likely business you can start that will fail as a restaurant. And, you know, I know there are plenty of successful restaurants in the United States. Right here in Georgia, as already mentioned, we have Chick-fil-A here, one of the most successful companies in the United States that runs restaurants. So you certainly can be successful. But you should know, if you're going to open a small restaurant, that has the highest potential failure rate of any business you can possibly open. I'm not going to go into why of that. A small retail store. I'm always walking through malls or somewhere, and I'll see some small retail store. And just the business side of me, I'm figuring what the rent's got to be here. And they're selling some little specialty product that sells for $5. And I'm thinking, how many of those do you have to sell just to pay the rent in this place? Well, apparently a lot of people don't do that calculation because they go out of business rather quickly. This is a little surprising. Plumbing, heating, air conditioning service businesses. And here's the thing. Those are some of the most rapidly growing demand fields in the country, and yet people go out of business. And I will tell you in a few minutes about why I think that's so. Technology consulting. These are IT people, many of them who have no personality whatsoever, that start a consulting business. But you know, if you're going to consult with somebody, you're going to need communication skills and be able to talk to them. You can't just have geek knowledge, and a lot of them just have that. You know, they go in to see some Fortune 500 guy in gym shorts or something, and he throws them out of the office. That's why those kind of businesses fail. That's my opinion on that. Let's talk about starting a business for a minute. You know, let's just say you're a really good plumber. You've been working as a plumber for somebody, and you decide you want to start your own plumbing business. Well, let me tell you a few things you need to do first. You need to know a lot more than just plumbing. You need to have been paying attention to that business. And by paying attention to the business, I'm not talking about just the plumbing side of the business, because that's only part of it. Because if you start a business, you are no longer just a plumber. You're a business guy. And that's a lot more than just that skill. You need to understand, for instance, how do you get a customer as a plumber? You know, if you think you're going to go rent you some little storefront and hang a shingle out or paint your name on the side of a truck and make a living off that, let me tell you something, you're dead wrong. That's not going to happen. You're going to need a few more skills than that. You're going to know how to do it. And the one thing you're going to need to understand is, what do your customers really want out of you? What makes customers call a plumber back? If you need to figure that out. I'm not in the plumbing business, but I can pretty much take some guesses at it. It would probably be things like showing up on time. It would probably be things like charging what you promised to charge when you get there. It would probably be like being friendly, returning phone calls, talking to them if they run into a problem. How do you handle a problem? Those are all the ways that you keep customers. And if you don't understand that kind of the business, if you don't understand your cost versus your expenditures, like, you know, you can't go, probably the company you're working for, if they're successful, they know how to buy plumbing supplies, and they know how much they can mark them up. and make money and yet not run off customers. Maybe you don't know that. You better pay attention to how they arrive at those kinds of ratios and what you have to do to live by it. And here's the other thing. What differentiates you? You know, there may, I don't know how many plumbing companies you are here in Atlanta. There are probably thousands. I have no idea. Why would they call you, Bill Smith? Why do they call your plumbing company and not somebody else? Why? Well, you need to figure that out. Why should they use you? What's your unique proposition? And you need to spend some time thinking about that. What do you need to? What are you going to do? Because that's going to drive how you run your business. Which maybe you're going to do a little niche, and you're only going to do, I don't even know enough about the plumbing industry to come up with something here, but maybe there's some little niche in the plumbing industry, and you're going to do that. Well, I love niche marketing, and that's what I spent my entire life doing. So I very much favor that. If you can get out of the whole universe of just selling plumbing and get into some little portion of it, it's going to hone in the customers you look for and how they handle you. The other thing is you've got to have a compelling story. You have got to be able to communicate. You know, you can have the best hot dogs in town, but if nobody knows you have the best hot dogs in town because you don't know how to tell them, you're not going to sell any hot dogs. And it's the same thing whatever business you're in. You've got to be able to have a compelling way of communicating your unique business proposition. You should do work with us because but make sure that because is not something you just made up out of thin air. That because is something the customer actually cares about. That's another big problem in business. We get all tied up in our businesses, and since we know our business very well and we understand what we do, there are things that are important to us and very interesting to us in this business. Well, unfortunately, that may not be important to a customer. And if it's not important to a customer, let me tell you, you're not going to make any money doing it. So be sure when you're communicating to a customer, you're communicating what is important to him, not what's important to you. To communicate your value proposition, why you're valuable, why you're somebody they should use in terms they understand. And you need to be able to relate to your customers. You know, if whatever kind of business you're in, this is a crazy example. You know, if your prospects are biker gangs, let's say, and you're selling chains to biker gangs, whatever it is you do, whatever, I don't know what you sell, biker gangs, whatever that is, you sell to them, you don't show up and talk to them in a three-piece suit. They would probably think you were a narc officer or something. You know, that's not going to work. You're going to have to relate to the people that are your prospects, and you need to figure that out. You need to understand them. And one way you understand them is talk to them. You've got to talk to them and understand what that market is all about. And finally, leadership dysfunction. I said earlier, I was going to tell you why. So it gave one of the high failure rates of some service industries like plumbing and heating and air conditioning and electricians and things like that. Things that are in demand in this country. They're in great demand in this country, and yet they have a high failure rate. Well, that has nothing to do with the market. It's a great market. It is a great market. And it may or may not have anything to do with skills. You know, if you're going to offer yourself as an electrician and you're a terrible electrician, well, that's not going to work too well for you. But let's say you are, I think businesses fail and the person is a good electrician. Well, the problem is they think that's all that's required. They think the technical skills, all it is there. You can't do that. You've got to spend the time to learn the business of business. How do you find customers? How do you invoice? What about collections? Are you going to do collections? Well, let me tell you, you better. Are you going to take credit cards? Well, you better figure out how to do that. Are you going to, you know, everybody's not going to pay you cash. Are you not going to take checks? What about if you take a bad check? What are you going to do? You better figure out how to do things like that. In other words, the business of business. But the main thing in business is the customer satisfaction, finding where customers are, finding out what their needs are, and figure out how you offer value to that, and then coming up with the processes and so forth to be able to do that. And as you begin hiring people, learning how to deal with people, that's something a lot of techs have a hard time learning how to do. But and most of us have learned that the hard way. Perhaps you can spend a little more time thinking about it and learn it the easy way. You've been listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll be back next week. See you then.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.